1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this unique service, Lord, that we do about once a year, and we're thankful for those that are here. Now, Lord, I'm going to preach to our congregation today. I'm glad for the guests, but mostly I'll be preaching to our congregation. Help us, Lord, as we listen, and may we be better, and may we be better contributors to this life that's mentioned, this quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. May we be all contributors to that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Won't take a lot of time in introduction because of the brevity of time we have, but let me say this. I do not believe that you can remove Christianity, set it over here, and separate it from being a good citizen. What I'm saying is this. Being a Christian ought to make you a good citizen. The Bible teaches us throughout the Scriptures that we that are born-again Christians, we that profess Christ as our Savior, ought to be the exemplary citizens for our community. And so I want to give you just five things this morning. I'll give them to you, just one, two, three, four, five. Five Bible mandates for every citizen. I really want you young people to listen to me. You have an obligation to grow up and conduct yourself in the community in a certain manner that is honorable to God and beneficial for the other folks that live in that community. Now, so the Bible instructs us as Christians that we have obligations and we have responsibilities when it comes to our community and to being the right kind of a citizen. The first thing that we're taught here in this portion of Scripture is that as a good citizen, we are to pray for those in authority. We are to pray for those in authority. Notice this, I exhort therefore that first of all. So this is like our number one responsibility. What does it say? Supplication, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. And we talked about this a minute ago. I mentioned to you how we ought to train ourselves, discipline ourselves. I think there's two things you ought to do when you see a police car. You ought to pray for that officer, and you ought to get your foot off the gas pedal. Those are the two things. I'm not even sure that's the right order that I would do it. But if we would just train ourselves so that when we see these emergency vehicles that we would pray. Now, folks, listen to me, and let me say this. I don't care what your political affiliation is. I really don't. But I think that we owe every single person that serves in any capacity in our country, we owe them a certain amount of respect, and we owe them our prayers. We owe them our prayers. Well, I don't agree with everybody. Well, you never will. But that doesn't mean you can't pray for everybody. And we ought to make sure that we do this for the leaders and the civil servants of our community. Pray for those in authority. I was just thinking a minute ago that we're coming on the anniversary of what many of you remember was a catastrophe for this area and the surrounding areas in that unusual amount of rain and the flood situation. And every civil servant was called to maximum duty and doing unbelievable things. Citizens stepped up alongside and community rallied. I remember on Sunday we actually lost water here at the church. We had Sunday morning service, just a brief preaching service that morning, canceled services that night. And I got a call about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was the mayor of Jasonville, and he said, Pastor, I'd really like you to come down to the firehouse. And I said, when do you want me? As soon as possible. And I went down there thinking, you know, maybe there's some way we could help. And I thought what was so wonderful is when I walked in the room, and there's the city council members, there's the mayor, there is the emergency team. I'm talking about our chief of fire chief and our police chief and all of those that are here, a representative from the federal government. And I walked in and I said, how can I be of any service? And they said, and they all stood up. And the mayor said, the first thing that you could do for us is please, would you pray for us? And I thought, what a wonderful thing that we are able to do this. And then later on, he said, I would really like to activate your men to prayer. Darren Sluter told me, the assistant fire chief, he said, Preacher, let me tell you what they're calling for tomorrow, Monday. This was a Sunday evening. He said, they're calling for 3 to 5 inches of rain tomorrow. He said, if we have this, the only levee that we have left standing in this county is going to break, and we're going to have a county-wide, not just a regional, county-wide disaster on our hands. And so I said, let me make a phone call. We have here, as a ministry of our church, a pastor's prayer partners, and we had about 50, 60 men show up at 6 o'clock that evening at the fire station, and we got on our knees, and we prayed along with others in our community, prayed. And the next day, we got less than a quarter of an inch of rain the next day. When Darren Sluter was interviewed by the paper later on and said, where was the turning point in the crisis? He said this. He said it was when God's people prayed and the rain turned. That's exactly what was quoted in the paper. Now, folks, we didn't just pray. We also rolled up our sleeves and said, what can we do? And people in this church pitched in all kinds of areas. But what I'm saying is this. Let's not forget that we have an obligation, not just during a time of crisis, but week in, week out, day in, day out, let's pray for those that are serving our community. Number two, let me encourage you, young people, please hear me out. Obey and respect the laws of the land and those whose duty it is to enforce them. Obey and respect the laws. Turn, if you will, to Romans. You can maybe get over there pretty quick. Romans chapter 13. Obey and respect the laws of the land and those whose duty it is to enforce them. One of the great things that God has allowed this church to maybe have as a little bit of a unique ministry, maybe unlike many churches in the area, is we run a number of buses and a number of vans in this area, and we pick up a lot of young people who would not be in church if it were not for the folks that do that ministry. But let me say here this. We don't bring them here just to teach them salvation, teach them how to be saved. We bring them here to teach them Bible principles so that it will affect their lives, and so that they will be a good citizen of our community. And one of the things that we cover in our children's churches on a regular basis is this matter of obeying and respecting the laws of the land and those whose duty it is to enforce them. The Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. The rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. For if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for rest, but for also for conscience sake. The Bible's telling us that these folks that are enlisted and their duty is to enforce the law, they're not a terror to good, they're a terror to evil. The Bible says if you do right and you do good and you obey the laws, there's no reason for you to ever have any fear of those that are in authority. If you are going to do wicked and you're going to do evil and you're going to be a lawbreaker, you ought to fear those that are in authority, and it is their duty to correct that type of a thing. Now listen, young people, you talk respectfully about law enforcement personnel. I mean, when we were growing up, I'll tell you what, in my house, we would never have used the word cop, and that's pretty mild nowadays. That's even become accepted, but my father would not allow that. We were to speak properly and use the proper terminology and respectful titles for all those that serve. And then that's what you ought to do. Each and every one of you young people, you don't get in the habit of saying derogatory comments or making remarks about those that are being. Listen, these folks are your friends. These folks are a blessing to our community. These folks put their lives on the line a lot of times for your protection and for your good. Now, you know what? If you're going to go out and you're going to get involved in vandalism and drugs, and you want to, you know what? You ought to be scared of them. And you know what? I hope they catch you. What you ought to do is live the kind of a life that would support them and make their job easy. And every time you get a chance, you say thank you to someone who does that day in and day out. Number three, I'm not going to spend much time on. In verse 6 and 7 it says, "For they this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all that their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." And the reason that we're taking this time to honor these folks is because that's exactly what the Bible says we ought to do. And the context here is talking about honoring those that serve in these capacities. But let me say this. Here's number three. It's going to pain me to say it, but you know what our obligation is as a citizen? Pay taxes. Pay taxes. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of like you. I'm not always pleased with what they do with my taxes, but you know what? When I see these men in here, there's a part of me that says, amen. I just wish we'd be more responsible, some of our politicians, with what they're doing with the money, because I promise you, there's not a person sitting here that's paid properly and paid and recompensed properly. I mean that. And listen, folks, let's pay our taxes. Let's be honest. It doesn't say in the Bible to live off other people's taxes. It says to get out there, get to work, and pay taxes. And we've got to somehow dispel this mentality that has taken such a hold in this community of, you know what, my job is to try to figure out how to do the least amount of work I can, get by with doing as little as I can, and try to live off the government. That's ridiculous. Get out there, get busy, get a job, be a contributor to society so that we have the proper funds to pay these men and take care of their roads and to support our military and their efforts. Those are the things which I'm always glad to be able to pay taxes for. Number four, let me just mention this. Number four, I think our other obligation, our fourth mandate for as a citizen is let Bible principles guide you when you vote. Let me say this. First of all, everyone in here, I'm saying this as pastor of this church, I'm encouraging you, every member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church that is of a voting age ought to vote in every primary and every election. You ought to vote. Shame on you if you don't vote. I mean that. Shame on you. You know, there are people that live in other countries that would give anything in the world to have a chance to one time go to the polls and have the freedom to have some say as far as who rules their land. We have that opportunity and we don't do it. We need to. But also as Christians, we have an obligation, a Christian and moral obligation, to vote Bible principles. Listen, let me just say this. I think it's wrong to become loyal to a party. I think you ought to be loyal to principles. Your preacher does not get up here and try to encourage you how to vote. I'm just telling you to vote, and I think you ought to be voting Bible principles, which means you find a candidate that will take this country back in a godly direction, back towards the principles upon which this country was founded. That's the kind of a person you ought to put your support behind. But let me say again, folks, I'm talking about the primaries next month. We need to vote as citizens. We ought to take the time to do that. Now, I want to finish up with this last thought. Five Bible mandates for every citizen. Pray for those in authority. Obey and respect the laws of the land. And those whose duty it is to enforce them, pay taxes, let Bible principles guide your voting, and number five, remember, please hear me out, this may be the best instruction you get as far as helping you to be a good citizen, remember that the golden rule is still golden. Remember that the golden rule is still golden. You see, folks, we sometimes, if we're not careful, fail to realize that it's not just these folks' job to help our community to be right. It's our job to help our community to be right. The golden rule is found in Matthew 7:12. Jesus said, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." And we a lot of times have rephrased that. I don't think we've done any damage to it, but the golden rule is do unto others as you would have others what? Do unto you. Now listen, folks, that principle will make you a good citizen. You know, when there is a crisis or there is a problem or you see a situation where you're there and you're on the spot and you can help, you ought to help. I think so many times we just think our responsibility is to pull out a cell phone and call the authorities. And I certainly understand that there are some situations where that would be appropriate and proper. Remember when we had the ice problem here a couple months ago? I was traveling down 159, and there was a lady that had on her way to work, and she had spun out. She was going in the ditch, pointed the opposite direction. And my goodness sakes, that was one of those mornings where there was people off the road everywhere. I'm afraid too many of us have just getting in our minds that that's somebody else's job to assist and help your fellow citizen. You know what? I seen that sitting in the car, there was a young lady about the age of my daughters. How in the world could I just drive by there and say, God bless you? You know, now, ladies, I'm not especially talking to you. I understand there's times you shouldn't get involved, and I understand there's times you should call someone else. But I think there's an obligation that we have. I turned around and I called a Chad Gordon, matter of fact, and he came with his four-wheel drive truck. We got her into a warm vehicle. We got her car out of the ditch. We got her headed off in the right direction. You know what? It didn't cost the taxpayer one single penny. You know why? And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying that ought to be normal behavior in our community. Somebody said, well, I don't understand why the government don't get some road workers out here and pick the trash out of these ditches. I don't understand why citizens are throwing trash out the window. Now, come on, after a while. Every single problem we want to point at and want somebody to run from the government to fix, if we would step up and just do our... And I don't understand. I'll be honest with you. I was parked down at Bogle Corner at that stop sign one day. Lady in front of me, I'd been following her, and she stopped at the stop sign. She had one of those powder blue license plate that says environment, and it has the eagle on it. And I'm waiting, and she's not moving, and I'm waiting, and she's not moving. Her window rolls down. She takes her McDonald's sack and container, throws it out into the road, rolls her window back up, and takes off. Man, I wanted to be a policeman right then so bad. The environment, you know. You've got it on your license plate. You just threw your trash. I don't understand that. I mean it. I do not throw my stuff out the window assuming it's somebody else's responsibility to take care of my trash. I do not understand anybody who has that kind of mentality. But you know what? Maybe it's because I was raised in a home where we were supposed to make our community better, not become a burden to our community. And folks, what I'm saying is this. If every single person in this community would get back, I'm going to tell you, I think it would solve a lot of the woes of the world if we could just get families back to taking their kids to Sunday school. And they would learn things like what Jesus said here, that you know what, if you wouldn't want somebody to do it to you, then why in the world would you do it to somebody else? You know, that one little rule would probably make these men's job complete and these ladies' jobs so much easier, because you know what, if citizens would do the right thing, then you know what, they wouldn't have to be always there to try to correct things. So folks, let's just dedicate ourselves this morning to being good citizens here in our community. And let me just encourage you, as I started, I'll end. But I think one of the greatest marriages in all the world is you get somebody who will receive Christ as their Savior. You get somebody that will get back in an old-fashioned church where the Bible's actually taught. And you know what? All of a sudden, what you'll find is that person will start heading down the road to being in all areas of their life what they ought to be. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you and just testify for His benefit for a minute that there is no greater thing in the world than to know that you know that you know that you're born again. It's nice to be able to lay your head on your pillow at night and think, if something happens to me, you know what? I'll be in heaven when I die. Not because we're good people, not because we can ever be good enough to earn that, but because of the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again. The Bible says anyone who will take and turn their heart to Christ and put their faith and trust in Him and Him only for salvation can be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we have set aside this morning. I feel like it's been time well spent. And Lord, I thank you for these that have come today. Lord, they represent a great number who are right now out there doing their duty on standby. No doubt some of them even now actively involved in assisting and helping in crisis situations in our community. May we, Lord, honor you by honoring them, and may we live our lives in such a way, Lord, so that we can live that good and quiet and peaceable life that the Bible talks about. And Lord, help us to be good citizens. And if there's here, Lord, amongst us, anyone who's never been saved, I pray that they would be saved today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.